Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is vocalist Diana Lee. Lee has been a creative interpreter of jazz, blues, and rock standards for over 25 years. With her dance band Crazy Rhythm, she has appeared both regionally and around the country in such places as Baltimore, D.C., Philadelphia, and Boston. Her CD is called Crazy 8, a wonderful swing-influenced album with backup by her amazing Crazy Rhythm band. Welcome to the show, Diana.
Thank you.
Now, your parents were both musicians, so you must have been introduced to music as a young child. Tell us about how you discovered vocals and music.
Well, there was just always music playing when I was growing up, and also a lot of live music happening in the house. I grew up in Woodstock, New York. And my mother had a lot of musician friends who would come over, and there would always be a lot of guitars and banjos and washboards and kazoos and a variety of other things. And so there was always either music playing on the turntable or music playing in the living room.
Uh-huh. And when did you decide you wanted to study voice? Did your parents encourage you to start singing while these musicians were playing?
Not really. There was more of a feeling of singing around the campfire when I was growing up. And when I was a kid, I was more interested in acting, and my dream was to be in musical theater.
Mm.
But then I sort of veered away from that as a dream, and I did take some voice lessons when I was around 18, but it didn't really gel for me that I could even consider being a singer, much less start pursuing it, until I was maybe around 19, 20, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And what was it that initiated this discovery that you wanted to do this?
I don't know. I think I just sort of figured out that maybe I'd wanted to for a long time and hadn't admitted it to myself.
And were you listening to other women singers and jazz singers and influenced by some of the early singers like Billie Holiday and Sarah Vaughan?
Yes. I mean, my dad was a jazz trumpet player. He's still alive, but he's retired now. But I would have to say that was more of an indirect influence when I was a child. I was more directly influenced, actually, by people like Bonnie Raitt.
Really?
Uh-huh. She was a big influence. And so many different players. I mean, there was so much music that is very indirect for me. Like, we used to have the Beatles playing all the time and the Incredible String Band and things like that
when I was
a kid. So there was a real, and my brother was hugely into Jimi Hendrix.
Mm.
So there was a real mix of things that were surrounding me as I was growing up.
Yeah, and you know, women singers did not have to be put into boxes either. When you mentioned Bonnie Raitt, I mean, she's thought of as pop and blues, and she can do anything, as can you.
Thank you. She can do anything, but it also took her many years to become really successful. Like, it's the first 20 or possibly more years of her career. She wasn't, you know, she only had minor successes.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it took her a while to really break through to the big time.
yeah, it did. I do remember that. And her political activism probably helped with that as well. But I understand you were also a dancer.
Yes.
Talk to us about that. That must have helped with voice as well.
Well, I'm really involved in the swing dance community locally, not so much as I used to be, but I still love to dance and do still dance. And it's great, actually, being able to be on both sides of that fence, because you really understand the rhythm in a very physical way. And certainly if we're playing for a dance audience, it helps, because I have no trouble knowing what to play.
Now, let's go back to the early days. You weren't one of those kids that had dreams of being a Joni Mitchell or somebody like that. Did you ever entertain writing your own music and lyrics?
No, not really. There are one or two songs that I wrote a few years back, but they're pretty sophomoric at best. They're really not all that good, so I didn't pursue it. It's sort of the same thing with guitar. Like, I learned to play a bunch of guitar chords as a kid, and we used to sit around and play things, folk songs, what have you. I did used to play Joan Baez songs, you know, on the guitar.
Uh-huh.
But I never thought that I was particularly talented as a songwriter, and it just seemed like there was such a huge multitude of fabulous songs already out there. And it's also the same way with musicians. People ask me, well, why don't you play guitar or some other instrument? And I think, well, all these other people are so much better at it than I do. I'd rather focus on what I enjoy and let the other musicians do what they do so much better than I ever will.
And that is the tradition of what used to call the girl band singer. You know, she was often just the singer, and she would be backed by usually a male band. It's nostalgic to us now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you've tackled rock and reggae and all these different genres. What made you interested in trying that? Was it to use your voice in different ways?
Yeah, I mean, it's also partly just what was sort of coming down the pike and sort of being offered up to me. You know, the reggae thing was the first real official band that I was ever in, and it just happened sort of as a fluke. A friend of mine was the lead singer and said, hey, we need a backup singer, and I ended up there, and it was, you know, it was sort of fun. But I didn't go out and say, oh, I want to be in a reggae band. Like, I didn't think about it,
uh-huh.
You know, but it was great. It was great fun. And then same thing with some of the other bands I've been in. Like, when I was in college, I was in a country swing kind of a band, and that was another thing that I sort of just fell into. I was also at the same time in a four-part all-girl a cappella band.
Wow.
And that was really fun because we would play, you know, these coffee houses, and we would play at anti-nuke rallies, which is what was happening at that time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we would do a lot of these things, and that was really fun, the a cappella thing. And one of my friends that was in that group was the lead singer of this country band, and then she graduated and left, and so I got offered the gig. And so that's how I sort of landed in that, you know. So it just, sometimes these things just come. They
uh-huh.
just come to you, and you say, okay.
Are you somebody who always is working on your voice to make sure it stays in tune and stays, you know, vibrant?
Probably not as much as I should be.
But you do practice.
I do, yeah. Mostly I practice in the form of learning new tunes.
Because mm-hmm.
That's what makes it fun. You know, I mean, you can do scales, but that gets old. And you can do scales within learning new tunes. I think it's just as effective for the purpose of exercising your voice.
Mm-hmm. So do you actually call somebody and say, will you play the piano for me and so I can practice? Or do you just sing a cappella at home?
I sing a cappella at home a lot. I probably would benefit from calling people to do that, but everybody's so busy. And,
uh-huh.
you know, there is one friend who plays piano that I get together with on occasion. And, you know, that's really helpful
mm-hmm.
when we both have the time.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, let's talk about the CD you recorded of standards. It's called Crazy 8, and you did it with the Crazy Rhythm Band, who are fantastic. To tell us about the creation of this, how did you decide what songs?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I made that CD in 1997, which is ancient history now.
But it's so timeless. That kind of music is timeless.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to hear that. But what I was getting at is I don't remember what led to the choice of songs. I would have to think about that. They were songs that we really that I really liked, and I was also at the time wanting to have a range of songs that weren't all the same, obviously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they are in the swing genre.
Well, that's very much what we were doing uh-huh. at that time, and I still do that in a lot of the gigs that I do. At the time, I was very much, most of my gigs were for dances, so they were dance audiences, so I wanted to make sure everything I was doing was appropriate for a swing dance crowd.
Uh-huh. But you don't need to pursue songs that speak to you and your life and your experience so that you can interpret them in your own original way?
There are very few songs that are so far outside the realm of normal life experience that I don't feel I could interpret them. And, you know, there are songs. I mean, for instance, we were talking before the interview began about Billie Holiday, and that song Strange Fruit is not a song I've chosen to incorporate into my repertoire for that reason. That's mm-hmm. so far outside of my personal experience, and that's pretty heavy-duty. You know, song
oh,
about
yes.
the...
It's amazing, about lynchings.
The lynchings and the racism and the whole thing. And it's like, yeah, I'm not really comfortable singing that. But very few songs, actually. Most songs are love songs that I do or they're...
Or heartbreak songs.
Yeah, you know, or there's a few that aren't either of those. But most of them are pretty normal life stuff that I can find a place in myself that relates to. So, you know, it's pretty easy to find.
Uh-huh. Now, I want to play an excerpt from the CD Crazy 8. This one's called I Can't Believe. Do you want to say anything about it before we play a little excerpt?
Sure. I'll say the full name of the song is actually I Can't Believe That You're In Love With Me. And many people have recorded it, including Billie Holiday, so I'm in really stellar company.
Let's listen to a bit of it.
You're in love with me.
That's great. That's such a great version. Really, it's very unique. Your phrasing is very unique, and great piano and guitar. You want to tell us a little bit about the musicians?
Thank you. Yeah, sure. Let's see. The piano player's name is John Hyde. He no longer lives in the Ithaca area. He lives in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Mm.
And he's an absolutely wonderful piano player.
Oh,
I have.
He is.
He really is. And I've been fortunate over the years since then to do a number of gigs with him. We are still in contact. And he's just wonderful. I love playing with him because he's so playful when he works, you know, with the other musicians. And he.
How much do musicians influence a woman singer who's interpreting songs?
Well, I suppose it would depend on the singer, but I would think a lot, because if you have a set way of doing the song, then okay, you have a set way, and maybe you have a reason for that. But if you're listening to the other musicians and sort of doing it as a collaborative effort, then you can't help but be influenced by what is coming to you either rhythmically or melodically from the other players. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah, it does. It sounds, it's such a fun genre of music, the stuff that you do. Now, I want to ask you this. We're so used to Billie Holiday and Sarah Vaughan and Ella Fitzgerald's interpretations of these timeless songs that have been around since the 30s and 40s. How do you decide to make these songs your own personal, coming from your own personal voice? Do you work on different phrasing? And
that's a really good question. In my case, I tend to do everything by ear, so I'm almost always learning something after hearing somebody's version of it. So I do actually put some effort into practicing it enough so that I can get away from whatever version I've learned. Now, sometimes I'm fortunate enough to be able to work with musicians and learn it just from it being played, where I'm not listening to somebody else's version. And that I always find those somehow become even more my own.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason, because I'm not, there isn't some in the back of my mind, somebody else's version haunting me. But on the other hand, those singers are so incredible that I'm always learning from them. So I can't, I don't want to get away from it 100% because I do benefit from that. I mean, I really feel like I continue to learn from mm-hmm. recordings by Sarah Vaughan or recordings by Ella Fitzgerald or whoever it is. So it's a fine line.
Mm-hmm. I actually talked to Janice Ian a few years ago, and she said she always goes back and listens to her Billie Holiday albums just so that she makes sure she's being honest and truthful in her own ways of phrasing and you doing her own songs, which I thought was very interesting. Do you worry about that authenticity, or do you just want, or do you go into a thing where you're putting on an act like I'm the girl singer? Or do you want it to be an authentic?
Well, I wouldn't say I worry about it. Mm. It's interesting because I'm trying to think as I answer your question about when I'm actually on stage performing. And a lot of the time I play with the phrasing on the spot. And sometimes I surprise myself by coming out with some phrasing that I've never done before or some melodic interpretation that I've never tried before.
Mm.
And it's great when it works. Obviously, when it doesn't work, it's not so great. So to me, it's sort of like, well, that probably takes care of the authenticity thing, if I think about it. But I guess I don't give it a whole lot of thought. I just try to be true to the moment and, like I was saying before, play off the other musicians. And, I guess I hope and trust that it'll work and that it'll come out sounding more like me than anybody else.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Have you ever had the experience where the way you rehearsed it turned, you get into an entirely different mood when you're in front of an audience?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that happens.
Tell us about that. Does the energy make you become more exuberant?
Well, it depends. I mean, I suppose if the audience is really exuberant, yes. But I was going to say the energy of the audience always affects the performance. So it's always different than when you're in a rehearsal setting. And you can't predict. You can't predict how that will be. So it changes. I don't know if I have a specific answer for how it works because it changes every time.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a different feeling also when you're just with a pianist or when you're with a band? Is a pianist, is it automatically more intimate?
Yes. Yes, definitely, because here you are, you're naked. I mean, it's like you're up there with the piano. There's nothing else. It's very naked. When you have a whole band, it's like you're being lifted up by this whole rhythm section, and you can sort of sink into the wall of sound that's being created. Mm-hmm. Or skate on top of it, whatever you want to call it. But when you're out there with just a piano or just a guitar, you are very bare.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever feel vulnerable as a female out there just by yourself?
Vulnerable?
In regard to audience?
I'm not sure what you mean. I mean, vulnerable as a singer,
well,
vulnerable
I mean,
as a woman?
Well, I mean, like people coming at you and strange interpretations of... You know, I mean, a lot of women singers are trying to be sexy and, you know...
Oh.
That kind of thing. Do you get strange attentions sometimes from audiences?
No. I think that there probably was a time when I might have felt that way, but I think that was a long time ago. I don't worry about that stuff.
If you're just joining us, my guest is vocalist Diana Lee. Now, I want to play another excerpt from your Crazy 8 CD. This one's called Rock Me to Sleep. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's an old, old song, and I really love this song. It's just got such a great, it's got a great rhythm. It's fun to dance to, and it's just got a great sentiment to it. You know, it's kind of a, it's a little bit sexy, but it's also just a little bit sweet.
Uh-huh. Well, let's listen to a little excerpt from it.
Shadows of evening creep. Rock me to sleep when the daylight is gone and darkness comes on. When people start counting sheep, rock me to sleep. So cuddle close and hold me. Just rock me to and fro, like gentle breezes in the night. Come on and rock me till I go to sleep in your arms, to dream of your charms. I'm lost in a
great. I love it. I love this kind of music. I really do love this kind of music. Have you ever been a teacher of music or musicians or teaching people how to do phrasing and how to get into this kind of a...
A little bit. I have to say that I think that teaching singing is one of the most difficult things anyone could ever teach. I know a lot of singers teach singing, and that's fine, but I've never really gone to that as a general thing because I think it's so hard to do. However, I have taught... stage presence for singers, which is something I may pursue more. I keep threatening to. Because that is a thing that I really relate to. And people are always telling me I have great stage presence, which, you know, if I think about it too much, I think, oh, really? But then I know it's like I do understand how it works. And when I'm watching someone else sing, especially if they're not all that experienced, I sort of have an ongoing dialogue in my head of how I could make suggestions to them or what they might do to make themselves more comfortable on stage, which is the basis of having good presence. You know, you have to be comfortable.
Uh-huh. And have you thought about getting back into musical theater?
Not really.
You've had so much experience as a singer?
I never really got that far into it. It was sort of a dream. I mean, I was involved in plays when I was growing up, and there were some that had music in them. But I never went really fully into it. I don't know if I would do that now. I don't know.
Really?
Well, I don't really think
of
myself.
You have such a wonderful voice.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I mean, it's a perfect voice for theater, I would think.
Well, I think in theater. Well, now they have microphones. I mean, obviously, it used to be you had to project. Uh-huh. It was a whole different thing. But I always think of myself as not really being an actress. I mean, there's so many talented actors out there that I think, well, you know, wouldn't they rather have a real actor than me? So I don't know. Uh-huh. It also takes a huge commitment to do that.
Oh, yeah. It would be. It would be a whole new career, I would think. What kind of things does Diana Lee do for fun outside of the singing?
For fun?
Yeah.
Outside of singing?
Yeah.
Hiking, sailing, you know, being traveling. I love traveling.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about traveling because you travel also as a singer. How does that enrich your life?
Well, I love going to new places, and you know, if I can combine music and traveling, it's a great combination, obviously, because they're both things that I love. But I've done some traveling that didn't involve music as well, and so, you know, I just love to check out new places and new people and new cultures. And
I wanted to ask somebody, because you record standards and songs that have been around for a long time. Are there any songs from the last couple decades, do you think, that will become standards and classics that people have written that you've heard about?
I don't know. I have to admit, that I don't follow a lot of the more current music, so nothing is coming to mind.
Well, a lot of people think songs like Yesterday, one of the Beatles songs from the 60s, those kinds of songs are considered classics now, I think.
They are. Those sorts of, not jazz standards, obviously, but those are classics in their own way and maybe just as strongly as a jazz standard. I mean, you know, it's funny, we're talking about jazz standards. When jazz standards were in their day, they were considered pop songs.
Yeah.
So it is funny how it sort of shifts over, because I'm thinking, oh, well, these Beatles songs are pop songs. Well, jazz standards used to be considered pop songs.
That's true. That is true. We have time, actually, to play another excerpt from Crazy Eight. This is a delicious CD, I must say. We're going to play I Will Always Be in Love with You. Tell us a little bit about it. Why did you decide to record that? Were you in love at the time, or...?
Was I in love at the time? Not really. But it's a great song, and I've definitely been in that space before. And it's a lovely song. I love the way it flows, and I really love the piano solo on that one.
Okay.
It's real pretty.
Let's listen to an excerpt from it.
Sweetheart, if you should stray
great. You know what? I often wonder why this genre of music still speaks to people. Can you answer that? It's been around for so long.
Yeah, I think it speaks directly to the heart. And I think that no matter what decade it is, there are people that are going to feel that, because it's got, it just has so much heart in it. You know, all these, most of them are love songs, like I said, and there's something about that kind of rhythm. And if you're at all into social dancing, it just is so, it's like a warm feeling, You know, most of the music, even when they're sad songs, they're sort of happy.
Yeah, it is very upbeat. You know, swing, jazz. It's an upbeat genre.
And
go ahead.
Well, and then it also has the room in it for the more jazz-oriented things. So you have the ones that are a little more accessible to your average person, and then you also have some tunes with melodies or parts to them that are a little more out on the jazz spectrum. So it can really appeal to people on both of those levels.
Mm-hmm. You say that you aren't really up on some of the new music that's being written, but you must listen to music. Do you like classical, and are there other genres that you actually listen to?
I do. I love Baroque music.
Really?
Yes. Although I am no expert, so don't ask me any detailed questions.
Uh-huh.
I love a lot of genres of music. I recently went to that Eddie Palmieri concert up at Cornell, which was incredible Latin music. There are so many genres. I mean, there are very few that I don't like.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you are still actively singing, correct? I mean,
yes.
We can expect to see you in different places during the summer, perhaps.
I'll be at the Ithaca Festival, capping it off at the very end at a dance in the large pavilion at Stewart Park on Sunday, May 31st. So I'll be there, and that's free and open to the public.
Yeah, and are you going to be there with the Crazy Rhythm Band, or do you have new musicians?
It'll be a quartet, so it won't exactly be Crazy Rhythm. It'll be a little bit smaller. Crazy Rhythm was a quintet.
So it'll be a little bit of a different genre.
Very similar music, though.
Uh-huh. Well, I think this is just wonderful music, and I thank you so much for joining us today. And just keep singing. I hope you'll cut a new CD, is what I'm hoping. Anything like that on the horizon?
No, but I hope so, too.
Diana Lee, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tish.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation in support of the Out of Bounds radio show, please contact our fiscal sponsor, the Arts of the Southern Finger Lakes, at earts.org. That's earts.org. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.